I'm Matt Jordan. We're joined by Jacob Weber back here in the 8 o'clock hour as we got some talking about fertilizers, right? And getting gardens ready and soil testing and lots of other stuff as it's kind of...
just getting cranked up,
yeah, cranked up
on soil testing, yeah. And soil testing for your vegetable garden. Purpose of the soil test, again, is to determine the levels of availability. You know, this is kind of a concept, like you can pull it out of the cloud or something like that, but you really don't, it's really not a firm set, something that you can measure down to the millimeter. The soil test is an analysis of the potential availability of certain plant nutrients and the pH. Now, the pH we can get really a fairly accurate reading on, and the pH can be adjusted usually by the addition of lime if the soil is too acidic. The target range for soil acidity for a good garden is generally from about 6.4 to 7. But you can vary on that level a little bit without any issue for the plants. Plant production, usually, if we drop down into the mid-5.5 range on pH or get up into about 8.4, then we're going to see some issues develop with the loss of certain plant nutrient availability, or in some cases, if we get too acidic, that won't happen here. It'll never happen here unless somebody dumps a lot of sulfuric acid into the soil. You won't get down to where you get toxic levels of aluminum becoming available, although it can happen too much put on. But we can get that pH within a desirable range. So if it gets a little bit too low, we can add lime to the soil and bring that pH up a little bit. Lime is a neutralizing agent. It actually, limestone is crushed up into very fine particles that kind of makes it look like flour almost. And when you mix that into the soil, the calcium carbonate and the lime actually reacts with the acidity in the soil, and we get a combination of the acidic ions, the hydrogen, that free hydrogen that makes the acidity, and it combines with the calcium carbonate to produce carbon dioxide and water. And water, of course, is neutral, so it removes the hydrogen from the soil, excess hydrogen ions, and so brings that pH up back within the desirable range, allows for certain plant nutrients to become more available. The other plant nutrients that are tested in a routine soil test are phosphate and potash. And, this type of analysis is going to provide information on approximately what is the level of availability of those particular nutrients that an average plant could take up. Now, plants vary in their ability, one species and another, as to their tolerance of low phosphate or high phosphate or low potash or high potash. The tolerance or needs varies so much, but we can get a general range where if we can get that nutrients to be available within a general range, most of the garden plants that we put out, they're going to do fine. And as long as we can keep it in that general range, we're going to be fine. For phosphate, with the soil the testing analysis, which doesn't remove all the phosphate out of the soil and see how much is totally in there, it just kind of it kind of is correlated to what would be available. So the chemical analysis it pulls out just a little bit of the phosphate. And with that certain type of reagent, it can pull out a certain amount of phosphate if it's there. If it's not there, it'll not pull out quite so much out of the soil sample. And so that it shows up in a variation in usually in the color or some other analysis that or technique of determining that. And so it gives us a range. The range that the tests that are done at the soil testing lab at Kansas State University are related to in parts per million of a certain element or nutrient, phosphate. We generally like to see the range in anywhere from 20 to up to almost 50 parts per million in phosphate. A lot of the soil tests that I look at from gardens that come into the office, they are rarely within that range. They are mostly above 100 parts per million or higher, and in one case, it was over 2,000 parts per million.
Oh wow!
So yeah, too much. So we need to have a fertility management plan. And when we have a phosphate level above 50 parts per million, for example, we don't need to add phosphate anymore to that soil. And in some cases, probably not for years, 10, 15, 20 years, or maybe even longer. And some soils are so rich, they'll never need phosphate in two or three human lifetimes. So that is too much, but too much is too much. It generally will not have a serious effect on plants, but sometimes we can get it so high that it does negatively affect plant growth. But there's no point in adding it to the soil, because what happens is it doesn't stay in the garden. It moves off target. And then that's where we have some issues when that phosphate moves off target and into the rivers and streams and starts creating some pollution problems. So we want to be careful of that. But the soil test, we would like to do a soil test for vegetable gardens. Since it's not a highly managed garden as far as fertility management, we can make that soil test recommendation good for 5 years easily. We'll find out what the levels are and then get a fertility management plan, which is the application of certain types of fertilizer or no fertilizer at all, depending on some of the factors that go into that garden itself. And we can do that, follow that plan for 3 to 5 years and stay on target and have adequate levels of vegetable production, actually very good, depending on other management issues that a gardener will attend to, like weed control, irrigation, and crop management, other than fertility management. The soil test is an analysis of the soil sample. The soil sample is dependent upon adequate collection of a random sampling of soil throughout the garden. Most of the time, we'd like to have at least 10 to 12 random samples. It's a uniform slice in width and thickness of soil from the surface down vertically down 6 inches deep. That's a subsample. Say we take a slice of soil an inch thick and 2 inches wide, go down 6 inches deep, put that in a clean plastic bucket. Don't use metal bucket. Don't use galvanized bucket in particular, because that will alter the analysis significantly. Plastic is more desirable. Clean is desirable. We don't want other contaminants in, like it is a fertilizer bucket. We dump the fertilizer out and just put the soil in. Then we're going to get a really strange reading when we get the soil mixed in a fertilizer bucket. So clean plastic. And then we take that subsample. We get another 10 to 12 subsamples, put them all together in that bucket. And then hopefully the soil is dry enough to crumble easily. We'll stir them all together, mix it all up really good. You probably have 2 or 3 quarts of soil in that bucket, maybe. It all depends. But what we want to do is have about a cup and a half of soil for the soil analysis. The reason for a cup and a half is so there's enough soil to run 2 or 3 tests in case one test comes out kind of I guess the word would be funky. It's not right. They realize that something's wrong, so they'll recheck all the reagents and make sure they're all correct, and then they'll run that analysis again. Or maybe there's a question. The phosphate level, say, shows way low or way high, and we know that's not right, so we'll have to call a lab up again, say rerun the test. They'll have that sample there. They'll hang on to it for several weeks, and so it can be rechecked. And that way we can get a good soil test, a soil analysis, make the fertility management recommendation. Oh, there you go.
There we go. Yeah, that's all about testing your soil. And so that's, I mean, that was very informative for sure. And of course, you know, people have any questions, they can always call the Extension office, and that's, you guys can help,
that's
help
right.
with all of
yep.
that. So.
Yeah, it's getting close to gardening yeah. season. So get the, if you're doing planning on soil testing this year, get it done early, because it does take about 2 or 3 weeks for the turnaround. It actually goes a little faster now because the we bypass, we do a lot of things electronic. The soil test is sent electronically back to the agents or to the staff, and then we'll take that and make a fertility management recommendation, send that in the mail. So there's about a two-week turnaround when you deliver the soil to the Extension office, and by the time it gets back to you, 2 to 3 weeks should allow for you adequate time so you can get all your garden prep done before the planting season begins.
All right. Well, now, there's something, I mean, there some people in the community are starting here in Coffeyville over on 9th Street. They're calling it 9th Street Fresh. There's a couple that have redone some houses, and they also have this vacant lot, and they're uh-huh. wanting to turn the vacant lot into a community garden.
All right.
There's going to be 29 by 18 parts that are for each person that is gardening.
That's a fairly large plot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So right now, I think, and it, you know, it's free of charge. It's for people in the community. You can just you got to, you know, get your own seeds and do your own fertilizing and whatnot. But right now, I think there's 14 plots that have been signed up for, claimed. But so, you know, you want to test that soil. I mean, it's a vacant lot, so you want to test that soil. You want to till. What are some of those the processes that
okay,
you know, those gardeners want to start?
The owner of the property probably would like to run an initial soil test on the entire plot, because we'll assume that well, if it was in construction or had building built on or something like that, you have some construction soil. There probably is some significant variations in the soil itself. Hopefully it's fairly uniform. So one single soil test for the entire plot, do random collection of soil. And I would, depending on the size, probably do more than 12 random collections, subsamples, do about 20. And, put that soil together, mix it together, and then do one soil test for the entire area, and then provide that information to all the participants. We can get do an analysis, do a fertility management recommendation for the entire garden, but that would apply to each individual garden plot, so that could be like copied and handed out to all the participants. And then a recommendation, depending on the requirements of the particular community garden, whether you're allowing manufactured fertilizers, whether you're requiring organic fertilizer.
I know they want to be organic. I do know that.
Okay.
So
they want to restrict it to organic fertilizer. We probably have to, we'll make a recommendation for certain types of organic fertilizers, organic acceptable fertilizers. That way, each individual plot owner can determine what they want to do. And then, of course, a community garden, there needs to be probably some sort of understanding or agreement with the participants and the owner of the garden, which is a community, which probably is the city of Coffeyville, I assume, or something like that.
It's a couple that own the plot.
It's,
yes.
Okay, but they're doing.
But they're gonna let.
Oh,
it
this
be
is
open.
A private community garden then.
They own the plot, and then they are letting families and whoever in the city. Because it's no money involved.
Okay.
So you don't have to rent a space or anything, but it's first come, first serve.
Is there going to be, like, community water available?
I would assume so, yes. Okay. There is a property manager that will be in charge of that kind of stuff.
Very good. Okay. Well, good.
So, should be a nice thing going on in Coffeyville.
Hopefully.
So, yeah. And so, you know, anyone involved in that can reach out to the extension office.
That's
as
right.
Well,
if
get
the,
some help.
If the managers of the community garden need some information or help, give us a call there at the independence office. That'd be great.
All right. And before we wrap it up, you want to hit on that class that you have coming up for the 4-H?
This is the 4-H Gardening Institute. It's for designed to encourage children to become interested in gardening.
Yes.
And we're going to have a pumpkin contest associated with this. So we'll see who can grow the biggest pumpkin, maybe, or the unusual pumpkins. Yeah. We'll see how this plans out. I know Katie Townsend, the 4-H agent here in the Independence office, is going to be spearheading that, kind of. So we'll go with that. But give us a call. Let us know you're coming. Again, we can get more information to you about it. But we're going to be here in Fredonia, Parsons, Independence, and Girard 4 times during spring break. And we know when spring break is. Hopefully the weather's kind of nice, but not so nice that we get some more
perfect weather.
Perfect weather, yeah. Where you wish you were outside, but you're only going to be tied up for a couple of hours.
All right.
And it's going to be in the morning.
All right. So hopefully nice, cool, crisp spring mornings.
That's right.
There you go. All right, Jacob. Well, thanks for joining us today. Lots of information given on soil testing and fertilizing. And, you know, sometimes people think more is better, but that's not always the case.
That's right. With fertilizer, that is true. Very true.
All right. Well, again, if you have any questions, give Jacob or anyone at the Extension office a call. They can help you out with any sort of your needs. But this has been Wildcat Wednesdays here on the Mighty 690. And, of course, it is brought to you by Green Acres Garden Center. I'm Matt Jordan. Thanks again for Jacob Weber for joining us this morning. This is KGGF.